Did you find it kind of hard? Because I know a lot of the places and a lot of, you know, the other executive directors at the CBOs in the state all were either men or women, and they were all, most of them, homosexuals, with you being the exception of one of the very few that was not. I mean, did you find that sort of a reverse discrimination coming in, you being a heterosexual woman coming in against homosexual men and women doing, you know, the same sort of work? Did you find any discrimination on that, or...
I think I was just real naive in the beginning. I didn't know that I was an oddity because I was heterosexual until I had a meeting with someone who pointed out that our clinic seemed to be unique in that our physician is heterosexual, our executive director is heterosexual, our psychotherapist is heterosexual, and you know, the history of this disease is such that because of homophobia and the stigma that it was, you know, sexually transmitted and first found in this country to be in the gay community, and no one was going to touch it politically. It was not the politically correct thing to do because homosexuality was tagged right along with it. Lost my train of thought there. but, you know, when I came on board, I didn't think that about it. Maybe it's because I was hooked in early, you know, with Dr. Hannah and the excitement of so much new information to learn, having been in the field for so long in social work. I kind of thought I had seen it all and done it all, and there was nothing else new for me to learn, and this was a very exciting thing for me, and it threw me for a loop when someone pointed out, gee, you know, you're different. Most people in the community-based organizations and any organizations, you know, working with HIV/AIDS were the gay population, because other people, it wasn't politically correct, or they were so homophobic or whatever, they would not or could not do it. And I said, I never thought anything about it. But then I think that awareness, having that pointed out to me, made me pick up on a few little things. Later, I was once asked by someone who was gay, talking to another gay person on the phone about the new director here. I overheard them saying, I don't know what her qualifications are to be the new director. And then coming to me, asking me what my qualifications were, and me proceeding to talk about my educational degrees, and that wasn't what they meant by qualifications. They wanted to know, was I lesbian? Was I HIV positive? You know, it's like, that's what qualifies you to work. And I had never thought of those as qualifications to be an executive director before. And then felt like in some ways that I had to prove that I was qualified to do this work. That you didn't have to be gay or infected to be able to be the director of a medical clinic whose patient population at that point in time was primarily the white gay males, but certainly not entirely, even from the beginning. The very, very first patient ever was a white heterosexual female. But it was different, and I think I did have some problems. And I think that comes from the rural South being so homophobic and the gay population feeling that they had to be so careful about who they were open with, about their identity, and skeptical of any heterosexual around. And they wanted to test me to see, you know, are you here for a paycheck, or do you really care, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, have you ever had any difficulty with not necessarily this position, but any position at all, for being a female, of being not just a female, but a highly educated female in a position that not necessarily is always heralded to be a male-dominated world, but, you know, men usually in this sexist society hold those executive director positions. I mean, did you really have a hard time proving yourself as a person to get there, to get to the top?
I think social work may in some ways be an exception to that, because the social work profession historically has been more of a female profession. I mean, probably now more than any other time in history, there are more males there. But, I mean, social workers began by being called the friendly visitors rather than social workers. That was their title, friendly visitors. I always hated that. And my experience is through, I started my professional career in 1971 as an investigator for a juvenile court in Lexington, Kentucky, and the director was a female, and my supervisor was a female. As I moved on in my career, I've had one male supervisor, and the rest have been females. Even when I eventually got to the upper echelons in the government, the commissioner that I worked for was female, and she was one of the few female commissioners. Most all the commissioners were males within the government. Commissioner of Finance, Commissioner of Budget, Commissioner, you know. But the Commissioner of Social Services was female, and she, more than anyone in my background, was very, very politically astute, having worked directly for the governor and the mayor, and was very politically savvy, and found herself probably, she's probably 10, 15 years older than I am, and she found herself more in the boardrooms with males than I have, and kind of cut her teeth on being the only female and the only black female in those situations, having to prove that she was there for reasons more than just to meet the quota or whatever, that, you know, we have to have a black female represented, but that she was indeed very, very intelligent. And she's had a lot of power and influence, and still does, even with folks in Washington, D.C. And I have learned so much from her about how to carry myself and how to deal. I find now, being appointed to boards and commissions and things, that they're primarily male. There are, of course, always one or two females there. But, you know, the heads of larger agencies, the ones that they always make more money, are the males. And because you make more money, you're deemed to be more important or more intelligent, it seems, which I think it's probably the reverse. But I really haven't had a lot of problems. I've probably been very aware of it when I find myself in a room with more men than women, and wanting to be very sure of myself, and watching my language and my approaches to talking about things. I remember hearing a man usually thinks in more concrete terms: if A, then B, then C, logical steps, and that's the way you have to communicate to get your point across in the boardroom. Filled with men, you have to make sure that you follow these little logical equations of concreteness, and with women it's different. There's a lot more adjectives and a lot more background information, and I'm not saying that one's better than the other, but it's just a different way. And I know that I sometimes gear the way I address a problem or a situation. I'm aware of those ways of talking and to say things like, I think this, rather than I feel that, because I don't want anyone to tag me that feelings, you feel this way, to make sure that I think and I can back up my thinking with my, you know, logic of if A then B equations. But I think I've been fortunate, but I'm also came along at a time of women's rights, where a lot of males were more cautious also.
You are different in a way, sort of, or perhaps not now, but you are married to a Presbyterian minister. And in the South, typically a minister's wife does nothing but sit home and do charity work for the church, but you're not that type of woman. You have a career, and you have a child, and you are, I guess, what would be typical of today's woman. When you juggle it all, do you find that sometimes maybe some of your husband's parishioners have had either difficulty with the fact that you are an educated woman with a career, or that you're an educated woman with a career in this field, dealing with this specific topic of AIDS?
Much more here since we've moved to Alabama than I had that in Lexington. We have many, many more members, female members of our congregation here who are stay-at-home moms. And it's funny how, I've been employed since 71 on a professional basis without really stopping working and thinking, gee, wouldn't it be nice, to stay home and not have to get up and get all dressed up. All my jobs have been pantyhose and high heel jobs. And just hating that part and wanting to stay home. And then when I finally was afforded the opportunity to be able to do it, I found that, I don't like making bread. I don't sew. I don't like cleaning house. I don't like decorating the house. I don't like shopping. I don't like collecting. I haven't developed a lot of hobbies or interests within the home, because I've never stayed in the home to do that. I've always worked outside. Of course, when we adopted our son, working outside the home became much more difficult, and I think that's part of what I thought would be much more relaxing, to be home with him. But I also felt very strongly that the members of the congregation had certain ideas about what they desired their minister's wife to do. And there are things that I just have not found to be my niche, that I don't feel particularly comfortable with or gifted in doing or secure about doing. I don't play the piano or the organ. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't sing in the choir. I don't feel that my knowledge about the Bible is enough that I can teach Sunday school, and I guess I don't really want to put in the time studying to do it. I feel very much that my work here and a lot of my work history has been a ministry of sorts. And I take a lot of comfort in the biblical verse about there are many gifts among the many people within the church, and not all people have the same gift. Some are called to do things in the home. Some are called to do things out of the home. Some in the church. Some out of the church. I feel my gift is outside of regular, stereotypical type of church work. And I think one of the reasons that I also felt compelled to start working outside the home again was, if I didn't, I was not going to have very many excuses for why I wasn't going to be doing all this work within the church, you know, teaching Bible school, teaching Sunday school, all that sort of thing, which I just don't want to do. I feel much more comfortable here.